Well, you got to compliment Denver. I mean, it was clearly, like I said, that's a humbling loss. I haven't had my ass kicked like that in a long time, so.
Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler. With me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including Cheesehead TV's own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later tonight, we'll be joined. Later tonight, we'll look ahead to the big matchup with the Carolina Panthers when we talk to Joe Person, who covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. But first, it's time to let the healing begin after the colossal beatdown the Packers took from the Denver Broncos. That's right. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Mason Crosby.
Kicking field goals through the thin air.
Special teams, coverage units.
Covering kick returners like a glove.
We got the bad. We got Dom Capers.
No adjustments before the game or during the game, apparently.
Nate Palmer.
About fixing to get replaced.
Casey Hayward.
Getting schooled by Demaryius Thomas.
And we got the ugly. We got Mike getting his ass kicked. McCarthy.
Oh, Mike. Hey, at least he owned it, man. You know, you knew he had to end up in the ugly category this week. At least he owned it immediately after the game when he said, "I haven't had my ass kicked like that in a long time." So, Corey, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, actually.
6-1.
I actually, you know what? I feel pretty good. I was very positive after the game. I thought there were a lot of positives to that game.
So you're one of the few people I've heard say this. So talk to me about some of these positives, Corey. Because
I tell you, my
Twitter feed has been anything but positive since Sunday night.
I think there were some things, you know, you learn in the middle of the season. You learn whose defenses are for real and whose defenses are not.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, we are not going to have to face Denver's defense.
Hopefully not until the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen personally because, as we've all seen with Peyton Manning, his arm gives out by week 12.
Right,
I thought
it
was going to, this year, I thought it was going to give out week 7. I was hoping for that, but unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Right.
And, you know, I think Denver's defense is a lot better than they've been given credit for.
And that's the thing. Like, everyone knew they were good,
but they were
insane on Sunday night. I mean,
they made Aaron Rodgers look like.
They had a great plan. They had a great plan.
Who'd they make him look like?
Blaine Gabbert.
No, who's the guy for Dallas?
Matt Cassel?
Yeah, they made him look like Matt Cassel. It was pretty pathetic.
Oh, man.
But
that's sad news right there.
That's pretty sad. Well, it's not sad because he plays for Dallas Cowboys, so
yeah,
it actually is quite uplifting. Who are your four least favorite teams in the NFL? Just before, while we digress.
Oh, we did have this kind of back. Yeah. This is kind of the thrown out there on Twitter this week. Well, you got to go with the Bears and the Vikings. They got to be
on
there.
It's like number one and two. Yeah,
they've got to be on there.
Default.
Like that's two. So you've got two more after that. And I can't put the Lions on there. I know they're a division foe,
I know they're
like a bunch of scumbags, and they've been like this horrible team for so long.
Lions, yeah,
but I feel nothing but apathy for them.
I don't like them when we play them.
No, exactly. And it's like
I don't cheer for them.
I liked Wayne Fonts when he was the coach there. So like I kind of grew up with that as the Detroit Lions. So it's like I don't hate them, you know, because I like Wayne Fonts, but. We got the other two. Well, you got to put the Cowboys on this list, right? So you've got the Bears, Vikings, and Cowboys. So those are those three have to be on the list, right?
Yeah, Cowboys are my number three.
So they got to be on this list. So there they are. So it's the question of that fourth team.
Yeah.
And right now, I think in Packerdom, that team up until week two was probably the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I think that team for me is the Seahawks.
But now I don't, again, it's like we killed Darth Vader. Like, I don't know. I don't feel the hate anymore because it's like, yeah, we should have won that game in January. We won that game in September. The Packers are the better team.
And okay, I don't have the hate.
So who is it now then?
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. It's hard for me to kind of get a fourth that I really truly hate. Like, I hate Washington because of their owner.
Yeah.
But I don't hate the team.
No.
You know, they're just incompetent. You know, and I don't hate the Patriots because we've kind of owned them.
I hate the Patriots.
You know?
Actually, the Patriots could replace the Seahawks. Just
I just love the fact
they get
that, like,
so much, they get so much ink.
Whenever
for no
Patriots
reason.
Fans start to talk junk about, like, championships or whatever, blah, 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 there's two teams. It's like, they can't talk junk to Giants fans because they own them in the Super Bowl twice, ruining a perfect season once along the way. And they can't really talk junk to Packers fans because it's like, okay, yeah, most recently they came into Lambeau and lost. And then, oh, there's this little thing called the Desmond Howard return to put your beat down in the Super Bowl where you lost to the Packers, you know? And so there's all these instances. There's this great game that Matt Bowen was a part of where they went into New England back in the day and won that game. And I know there was the game where Aaron got hurt back, you know, when he was a backup and they destroyed the Packers at Lambeau. But for the most part, during this kind of Packers resurgence, you know, the Packers have kind of owned the Patriots. So I kind of like it because, like, they can't really talk junk. But then I don't really hate them. I don't hate them. I don't. I think I really admire Bill Belichick. I really admire Tom Brady. And I don't have the hate.
You like people who cheat?
Yeah.
I see how you are.
You're cheating. You ain't cheating. You ain't trying.
Oh, dear. All right. With that, we digress.
But wait, so Seattle's your fourth, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's like right now, it's like Seattle Patriots.
Yeah,
Seattle
okay.
Patriots.
All right, I can see that. What about the Panthers? This week's opponent.
I don't like Cam Newton. I think he's a good player.
Yes,
I met him
I
one
agree.
Time,
I
and
agree.
He was a very nice guy, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like how he presents himself in the media.
Oh, you're one of those.
Not a huge fan.
You're one of those.
I don't like, I just don't, I don't.
Yeah, I love him. I love everything about him.
No.
I love it. I love him.
You know, and honestly, I think that he's not going to have the longest career because
well,
of the way
he plays.
Well, if
they keep running him the way they did on Monday night against the Colts, holy cow. I mean, he's bigger than anybody you've ever seen at the quarterback position. I get that. I get that he can put out the punishment just like he can take it. I get all that. But holy cow, they were running him with abandon. And they're not scrambles. These are called runs, like power runs with their quarterback. I mean, I don't know. You're just kind of asking for trouble there. But it's working for them so far, so it's hard for me to sit here and say you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, they're 7-0.
Yeah, well, they're 7-0 right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know,
to be 7-1 is what Corey's about
to
say there.
If you're gonna make yes, of course. If you're gonna make that kind of investment
right.
in the quarterback,
well, that's the other thing.
You should be thinking about the long term.
I would agree there. I would agree. Uh oh, what are they saying on the chat? I know that look. You're looking at the chat.
Yeah, you know, I don't hate the Giants. Somebody said NFC Championship game Giants.
See,
here's
the
thing about
okay, how can you hate a team that's clearly better? Like, they've come into Lambeau twice now.
In NFC Championship
butts.
Game, they were not the better team.
No, I
disagree. They weren't the better team. They weren't the better team. Jared Bush falls on the ball, we win the game.
Know. Or Brett Favre doesn't throw an interception.
Brett Favre doesn't throw an interception, we win the game.
Yeah, maybe.
No, but right. Jared, no, okay. Brett Favre not throwing an interception
Wait
is a
second.
Little bit
you
different.
You are not about to give... Brett Favre a reprieve for that game
yeah,
and
course.
Lay it on Jared Bush. I know you're not.
I know that's not about to happen. Is Brett Favre's name about to be on the bowl?
I am not hearing this
is
right
Jared
now.
Is Jared Bush's name about to be on the bowl?
I don't even believe I'm listening to this right now. There's a lot of blame to go around for that game, and Brett is part of it.
Jared Bush
don't
is
try
the
and
number
whitewash
one.
History.
Jared Bush has the number one.
No, he doesn't. They're in a position to win
yes.
the game until
yes.
Brett throws that pick.
Yes.
People, you see what I have to deal with.
But here's why. Here's the thing. Here's why I don't.
Here.
Here's why I don't hate on the Giants.
Right.
Okay, for this. But it's funny because I hate on the Steelers.
Right.
The Giants are one of the oldest franchises in the NFL.
Right.
And if you look back in history,
where
some
Lombardi
of the most
came from.
Where yeah. Lombardi came from.
Right.
Some of the most amazing games in NFL history before our time
yes,
that
yes,
we don't
yes.
even really understand how amazing they were. The 1962 championship, the 1961 championship,
the greatest game ever played.
Yeah, they were played at Yankee Stadium. Right, right. I mean, it's just like there's so much history and so much
yeah.
goodness that
I'm all
comes
there,
along.
Dude. I like the. I love.
It's
the
just
Giants.
So
I
hard. I don't
I
like the Giants.
I love. Them. They've been good to me, so I can't really be.
Don't hate them.
Like, here's the thing with the Giants, all right? As an organization, I know people there who I call, like, I saw last year that the Colts were playing the Giants on Monday Night Football. I called their PR guy and said, can I come sit in the press box, watch the game? He said, yeah, sure. But so, I call the Green Bay Packers, and they go, oh, you got to buy a ticket.
So basically what you're saying is when people bribe you,
you like them, and when they don't bribe you, you don't like them. I'm just saying their organizational philosophy. They understand that we love football. Cheesehead TV gets credentialed to anything with Giants because they know we love football, even though we have nothing to do with the Giants. And I've had so many Giants fans over like the last 7-8 years since we've been in operation say, God, I wish there was something like this for the Giants.
Well,
I
maybe wish there were some Giants fans show for the Giants.
No. Why? Could you imagine? All we'd do is rip on them. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, we'd say how stunk they suck.
Well, it was a lot better when we were watching the Packers. But.
that would be the worst show ever.
It would be.
Because
that you would know, be, it'd be you great know because like, it'd be so bad.
That would be like the guy who, Fireman Ed for right. the Jets.
Yeah, when he finally, grew up a Dolphins yeah. fan. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, yeah, I have a close friend we went to school with who used to be a Dolphin fan who is now a New Orleans
oh,
Saints fan.
Oh, what a
fan.
Shock.
We digress majorly. So, first, we're going to talk
hey, wait,
about...
Hey, whoa, we got to do it. What happened? I got a toast.
Toast what?
Whatever.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm doing.
All right, great.
So, if you would like to win a prize, that prize would be a Cheesehead TV special poster illustrated by none other than Brent Schoonover. You can, by tweeting the following graphics on the screen right now. I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. Tweet it, people. Tweet it. And we love our Wisco Disco. We've got some bees knees in the house.
Wisco
we got some.
Disco.
If you're in Green Bay, you
Get
need
it.
To do it.
Get it, people.
You should be
Get
doing it. If you're not doing it, you're doing it wrong.
If you're at Lambeau, send those picks next week. Not this week, but next week.
Yes. And then we got some news.
Got some news to get to. Let's do it, people.
Oh, and we should talk about Legends of the Field because they've been really good to us.
Oh, yeah. What about Legends of the Field? I mean, if you go to legendsofthefield.com, you will find pretty much any type, any kind of memorabilia you could ever want, signed or unsigned, mostly signed, but they have tons of stuff. They are amazing, and they hold these signings.
Yeah,
they
with
call
everybody.
Sponsor signings with every. I mean, current and former Packers up the wazoo. They work with everybody, and they've got tons of great memorabilia. If you're a Packers fan, you owe it to yourself to check it out. Heck, if you're just a football fan, because they've got tons of great stuff.
Yep,
check them out.
And they're really good to us. They give us stuff, and we like it.
They do, and they're awesome. They've got two locations in Wisconsin. Go to their website. Check it out. You can check their stuff out in person, or you can check it out online. Thanks to Nick and his crew for a one-of-a-kind partnership. They're really awesome. Thanks, guys. All right, now we're ready for some Packers news.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the FCC is going to be mad at me because I put news under an ad.
You're so crazy.
Oopsie.
Oh, you mean, well, I think Google News is not going to allow us on their news service.
They already
do. Oh, wait, they already don't. I love it.
They have some very terrible things on there now. That they allow, and I'm like, every time I see something on Google News, I'm like,
we're not allowed on Google News, really?
Total Packers is allowed on Google News. Oh, by the way, I think I'm going to unfollow them, but that's all.
Oh,
I digress.
You're way late, dude.
I know everybody's unfollowed them, but me.
I know.
But every time I see something, I'm like, I should unfollow them, and I feel like as a curator of the Packers blogosphere,
right.
I feel like I should at least like
know what's out there.
Know that it's out there.
Yeah. Know what I'm not aggregating. But yeah. I hear you. All right, so let's get to some news. Some hardcore Packers news, mostly, unfortunately, having to do with injuries. Packers had their first practice today and getting, you know, in line, getting ready for the Carolina Panthers. Several players were kind of limited in their participation, and there were even more. There were three in particular who did not participate. They were listed as DNPs on the practice report. You know, Corey's going all over the place there.
I spelled Shields wrong, and I just fixed it, and I pushed the wrong button.
Well done. Quentin Rollins, the neck injury. Originally, I think they had listed it after the game as a shoulder injury, but it turns out he was listed with a neck injury today. I mean, can the Packers get a break here with the necks? I mean, how many guys have had the neck injuries that has just ended up not well? So you hate to see that. Hopefully it's minor and he's back out there, if not this week, then the next. But holy cow, not another neck injury. Sam Shields, shoulder injury. I know Ian Rappaport put out there earlier this week that they don't consider this a serious injury, that he is considered day-to-day. But on this particular day, Wednesday, he did not practice. He did not participate. And then we come to my favorite listing on the injury report. We got the fullback. We got the rookie Ripkowski on here with an illness. Now, I was told pretty reliably he woke up having stuff come out of both ends, which makes you feel for the guy, until I'm thinking, wait a second. Hold up. The rookie is doing the talk show circuit this week. He's out down there in Appleton with Bakhtiari. He does another show last night. And I kind of jokingly, the only reason this kind of came into my head, I was like, I jokingly put out there on Twitter, oh, look at Ripkowski doing the circuit. Like, he should, obviously has to come on our show tomorrow night, make it like 1, 2, 3. And so then he followed me on Twitter. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And then today he's on the injury report with an illness. And I'm like, so let me get this straight.
So he has a Paul Hornung
You're out for
illness.
The 2 nights of the week, and then all of a sudden it's time to practice, and you're sick? Very interesting, rookie.
He's got the Paul Hornung illness.
Very interesting. Anyway, so that's Ripkowski. And then, you know, next up we got the guys who did participate but were limited. Clay Matthews with an ankle. We all saw him get rolled up in that Denver game. All accounts say that he should be fine. They're just being cautious. He seemed to do everything that was asked of him during the drill work that the reporters out there saw. Ty Montgomery, still limited with that ankle injury. That was a bad one. I mean, you remember him coming off the field with the trainers against San Diego. I'm surprised he's practicing at all still. I mean, it didn't look like he could put any weight on it then. I'm entirely sure it's still pretty tender. I know it's early, but I know Mike was talking up a good game today and earlier this week, but I'll be very surprised if he plays down in Carolina on Sunday. And then we got Nick Perry. I mean, Nick Perry just lives on the injury report. He's got a shoulder injury and a hand injury. This guy is just always injured. And he didn't play particularly well on Sunday night. So who knows what's going on there. And finally, it's Bart Starr week. What?
Why?
Did you hear this? I mean, I think our good friend, our old compatriot, now a writer for 24/7 Sports, Brian Caravu, had a post up this morning on his blog how, I mean, Scott Walker can't even do this right. I mean, this is a knock it out of the park, easiest thing you're ever going to have to do in regards to honoring Bart Starr, right? Put out a press release saying we're gonna have Bart Starr week, the week of Thanksgiving, when, you know, Brett Favre's coming to get his number retired. We all know the saga about trying to get Bart to that game.
Yep.
So make it that week. Like, put out a press release saying we're going to have Bart Starr week, the week of Thanksgiving in Wisconsin. You could make it a big thing. It'll be a home run. It's like not hard. This is not difficult, right? Instead, his office puts out a press release Monday morning of the week in question saying, oh, by the way, it's Bart Starr week. This is after they've just played a game, and the week will be over by the time they play another game. So what? Nothing's going to happen in the state. So it's just Bart Starr deserves better. That's all I'm saying.
If you notice my camera right now, I'm soft-focused on me, and the hard focus is on Ted. I did that on purpose.
That's the way it should be.
And just letting people know that.
I love it. There should never be a hard focus on you.
There really shouldn't. That's the second reason I did that. The first reason I did that was for
you
Ted.
You got Ted, you got the helmet.
Well, and I got
assistant
Bart
coach.
Too, so.
Yeah, there. But Corey's in soft. Nice. I like it. All right, let's get to the offense here, because that's what everybody wants to talk about. Everybody wants to talk about the offense. It's so funny because the defense didn't exactly cover themselves in glory, but all anybody wants to talk about is the offense. And I understand that. I understand that. It is frustrating when you go from having the top scoring offense in the league last year to this very problematic looking offense that they've got rolling out there now.
I think that I really personally, I know people are not going to agree with me, and I know that I'm in the super minority. Mm-hmm. To borrow a phrase from the House of Representatives. But I actually am a believer in this offense. I really believe that the Denver Broncos secondary is, like, up here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's okay. I think what's going to happen is the guys that are young, that we've been seeing, like, little bursts,
little
green shoots, as it were.
Okay, Mr. Gardner.
Even as you've been seeing these little sprouts,
right?
I think that they're going to get. They're not going to hit the rookie wall, and they're going to just start ascending.
All right,
you're going to see the second half ascending. I really believe it.
All right, I'm down with that. I think, you know, I just don't think it's one thing. It's just not one thing. Like, people want to, you know, play the blame game, so to speak. And,
it's Aaron Rodgers.
Was Aaron, well,
it's Devontae Adams.
It's the wide receivers not being able to get open.
It's Randall Cobb. It's the offensive line.
Yeah. Everybody wants to, and it's just not one thing. And I understand the desire and the need to kind of affix blame. And, you know, I loved, you know, it was a great breakdown in on PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. You know, the tape guys looked at Eric and Pete, do a great column every week. And Eric did a great job of spelling out how Wade Phillips went about kind of attacking Mike's offense. And it was so on point. You know, for the longest time, and this isn't what Eric said, but I encourage you to go read it. But this is what that piece got me thinking of. You know, for the longest time, how all we ever heard about was how defenses were playing two deep safeties because they would play just tons of two-man, and they would challenge, you know, the receivers at the line, which is obviously something we're still seeing.
Yeah.
But then they would just dare the Packers to run it. And the Packers finally got it, Eddie Lacy. They finally, last year, started really being able to run teams out of that two-high shell. Well, now, teams are doing the exact opposite. It started with San Diego, and it really manifested itself with Denver. They're playing, like, eight-man boxes, nine-man boxes. They're begging the Packers to go deep. They're begging the Packers to go long outside. The Packers can't win out there. They can't do it. Now, whether that's a function of, I know the easy thing there is to say, well, they don't have Jordy. I'm here to tell you, go back and look at the tape from last year. Jordy wins a majority of the time when the guy is playing off of him. There are some press man situations where he wins, especially in the Carolina game last year.
Yeah.
You can see he gets off press really easy and sits down before the safety and has a huge touchdown on one of those plays. But for the most part, he gets those big bomb plays, those shot plays, because he gets a free release off the line. And he gets up, and then he makes the safety, you know, completely look foolish with that corner post. We've seen that a million times. They don't have that opportunity this year.
Well,
that's why the one time they tried to run that play, he couldn't go deep because he's being jammed at the line. And they had Janis covered all the way up, and that's why he went underneath the Cobb, who dropped it.
I feel like we've lost two major things to our offense.
Right.
And I feel like if we got either one of them back,
right,
we would be as explosive as we ever were.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's some other things we could do to mitigate those, and we have been doing those things.
Right.
But at like with the 8 or 9 men in the box, I feel like this is apropos somewhat. And one of those things is, there is no good tight end on the Green Bay Packers.
No.
Richard Rodgers is not the answer at tight end.
No,
I'm sorry.
They're playing him too much, and they're asking him to do way too much that he's not good at.
And number two,
I agree with that.
What the hell happened to the bread and butter slant pass of the Green Bay Packers?
Absolutely.
From Donald Driver to
Greg
Jordy
Jennings.
Nelson to Greg Jennings.
Yep.
I mean, that is like the West Coast offense. I need 5 yards slant. I need 2 yards slant. I need 10 yards slant. You could do it almost any play. We have lost those two things.
And let me tell you, Corey,
and they're huge
in this regard, especially seeing 8-man boxes. That's when you attack with a slant, because that's the other thing. Is
when's
that
the last time you even saw a slant?
It's been a long time.
Randall Cobb surely can run a slant.
Run it great with the best of them. You know?
I don't understand. And so that leaves me to kind of go back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And go, okay, well, I saw this tweet that you had. Somebody was like, you know, is Clements blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, Clements is play calling the game they prepared for.
Right, what they practice.
Now, I will say, okay, I felt like, and this could just be me being a fan, which pretty much like 99.9% of the time is just me being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there is a disconnect a little bit, because if that's the case, I feel like when Mike was calling plays, you would get this feeling certain times in the game. Some people call this adjustments, and some people, he literally would throw the playbook away. I feel like,
right?
I feel like they game planned all week for something,
yeah.
And if he started seeing something, he threw it away. Now you would say, well, if he's the head coach and he's stepping back from this and he's seeing something else,
problem,
he's going to tell Clements, hey, let's go to A, let's go to Z, wide, whatever. So you got to assume that that's happening somewhat.
You would think so. You would hope so.
But there does feel a little bit of a disconnect. Where is he trying to let
Tom Clemens.
I think he is. And I've heard
his
thing. And let me tell you this.
And not get in the way, not micromanage. Because let me tell you,
yes.
I only have four employees at my company. But I am very, very cognizant of not being a micromanager. And yes. I know that what I do does not necessarily translate to football and million-dollar sports. But at the same time, it's like if you give a guy a job and then I like am like holding on to you and telling you what to do, that's not a good situation.
Well, let me tell you, I have heard quite reliably from more than one person that that is exactly the case in regards to Mike and Tom Clemens and the offense and him trying to let them kind of work through it. But I've also heard that he is most certainly going to be very, very involved this week in the offensive meetings, in everything that goes on in regards to how they're going to call the game.
Well, he doesn't have a choice.
He's going to be much more involved. He does have a choice, but it's fun. It's funny. Someone did ask him today about, is it hard to kind of fight the urge to
micromanage?
Well, no, to take the play calling back, you know, during the game when you're struggling and blah, blah, blah. And he gave a kind of a roundabout non-answer, which you kind of expect. But I do get the sense that he is very, you know, definitely trying to be the overseer and not get down, you know, down on the kind of granular level and not be a micromanager. But, you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting. Oh boy, you're writing. I don't know what's going on.
I'm trying to be discreet.
Are you?
I love it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I love it when I'm trying to be discreet.
Give me the pen.
And then you just like call me out.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
God.
Please. Okay, vamp for a second.
You're really ridiculous sometimes. Yeah, well, I said all the things about the offense that I wanted to say.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Yeah, this is riveting.
Well, you know, I was talking about stuff, and then I realized we needed something.
Yep,
okay,
there you go.
Now I have it.
There you go.
All right.
So, yeah.
So we passed winning one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Now we're going into scheming.
It's winning one-on-ones. It's part of it, you know? Scheming. That's part of it. Like, Mike can get up there and say, because someone asked him about it, and, you know, he said, oh, he's, again, kind of an evasive non-answer, but of course scheming's part of it.
Jeff Janis is not the answer. Can we please stop with this? God.
Well, he could be.
If Jeff Janis was the answer, he would already be on the field.
Hey,
and Aberderis needs to go in the doghouse right now. That was ridiculous.
Well, for the bringing out of the point, I said it during the game. I didn't mind it. You know why? Because at least someone was trying to make a play. I don't care.
No.
Does Rodgers got to go in the doghouse for trying to flip it to John Kuhn?
Okay.
I mean,
by that same logic,
he's trying to make a play.
Does Leon Lett not get in the doghouse for running the wrong way?
No, of course not, because he's a Super Bowl champion. That's all forgotten. We all watch it on the highlights.
Nobody
later,
forgot
later
that.
On
I haven't forgotten that.
No, exactly. But that's what I mean. But in the moment, you
know. No, he's not forgiven. If they'd have lost the game, he wouldn't have been
but they
forgiven.
They didn't lose the game.
Yeah, well, we did lose the game.
I know.
Okay, so my point is,
it wasn't because Aberderis brought out a freaking deep kickoff.
You never know. Maybe that field position would have been everything.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. The big comeback was just around the corner until Aberderis brought the kickoff out. That's bold there.
Okay, Philippe Garza, Corey Aaron, what did you think of Baseless's Coward's comments on Rodgers?
Oh.
Who's that?
Coward on, you know, former ESPN guy now with Fox Sports. Who cares,
Oh,
dude?
Cow Patty?
Who cares? Dude, who cares? Why do people listen to him? Get upset about him and Skip Bayless? Like, I don't, like, who cares? I'm like, serious.
I don't care what they say.
All sincerity. Who cares?
Well, it's
They are paid to get you upset.
Exactly.
And now
it's like caring what it's like when like religious and righteous people care what Howard Stern says. No, seriously, it's the same thing.
I know.
He's getting paid to shock you.
Yeah.
That's his point.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with either side. I'm not saying what he says is bad or good. I'm just saying that's the point.
Yeah. I don't give it a second thought. You ready to call Joe? My God, is that time?
We didn't do defense yet.
I know, but it's like a 1 minute. We're not gonna do the defense in 1 minute. We'll do it on the other side. Right? Or no? You wanna do the defense in 1 minute? We can.
No, I wanna do whatever you say.
Ha! Well, that's how we're gonna do it.
Whatever you say, Nate.
Let's do mariachi.
Okay.
No mariachi.
Okay,
I'll just
say
this.
You're trying to vamp.
Okay, I'll just say this. We all know there's a lot going on there on the offensive side of the ball. Mike can talk till the cows come home about it not being scheme-related and how, you know, guys just need to execute. But we all know it's scheme-related. They're clearly struggling. And, again, as Corey said, Corey put it perfectly. You need those slant plays. You need some West Coast offense. We need some smash routes. We need some rub routes. We need some dig routes. All this stuff going way downfield. You see time and again as you're watching the game, guys disappearing out of camera frame. It's like, give Aaron a chance. Give him a chance. Scheme guys open. That's the other thing. I know there's going to – we'll talk a little bit later about Mike at the podium today talking about Aaron needing to maybe fit it into tighter windows, which I got a whole thing on that. We'll wait till later. But, you know, he also needs to get him in rhythm. Get him under center. Get him dropping back and throwing, you know, in rhythm. Manufacture some easy throws for him, whether that's moving the pocket and getting outside and doing some rollouts. I mean, because that'll help just in as regards to cutting the field, cutting the reads, and, you know, not letting the defense know. You saw San Diego do it, and now you saw Denver do it. Their guys are not rushing upfield. They're mush rushing. They're keeping Aaron in the pocket so he can't escape and get outside, which is where he's traditionally done all his damage. So it's get the pocket out. Move him on your own. I mean, there's so much to be done on the offensive game plan side that Mike can poo-poo it all he wants, but he knows that's right.
We, guys on the chat, we're going to talk about defense right after we call Joe. We're going to call Joe right now.
Joe Person. Now, Joe's the best. I met Joe at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. He covers the Panthers. Great guy. And his coverage is phenomenal. I can't recommend him enough. Joe, I think it's Joseph B. Person on Twitter. You got to check him out. He's phenomenal. Really good stuff. Now watch him not pick up.
Hello?
Joe, it's Aaron Nagler. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Thanks so much. You are live on the air, so don't say anything too rude.
okay.
Thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, glad to be on, man. So I didn't know if we were on live or if how it worked.
We don't have no fancy like weight station here. This ain't no radio show. You know, this is the internet, baby.
We don't have interns that moderate calls.
No. We do it all live, baby. So, okay.
You know, some of the Thursday night podcasts in Charlotte, they give the guests growlers of beer. So maybe you guys can jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, well, we got some coming down to you right now.
There you go.
Well, Corey will be in Charlotte this weekend, so I'll have him bring you some.
There you go.
There you go.
Awesome.
All right, so let's brass tacks here. We got the undefeated Carolina Panthers. Let's just start with Cam Newton because he's the obvious kind of catalyst for all of this in Carolina. Have you been? I mean, I know he was hurt last year, so that had a big kind of role into some of his struggles last season. But have you been surprised at all at kind of how well he's played? I know he's kind of missed some throws here and there. I think he's looked pretty outstanding for the balance of the year. Has it surprised you at all?
Not really. In fact, we were having this conversation today. He doesn't look all that much different from now. Last year, as you said, he was hurt. But I mean, we've been watching this for the better part of 5 years. I think now the difference is they're just a better team overall. And even without Kelvin Benjamin, which is pretty remarkable to say that. Obviously, they miss him, but I think people are just kind of starting to take notice now. Cam is better at a lot of the nuances. He's better at, he'll look off a safety. He'll look off a linebacker. He's better at his pre-snap stuff, the audibles and the checks. But, I mean, this is a guy, lest we forget that his first two games out of the chute in 2011, 420.
Oh, I remember that second one real good.
You were at, you probably covered the second one down here in 2011 against the Packers. So I guess I know that he's a more complete quarterback, and I get why there's a lot of attention on him, but it is interesting. And I'm not suggesting that you guys are in this case, but a lot of the national people are just sort of like, oh, this guy's pretty good. And really, Cam's been good for a while.
Yeah, I'd agree. I definitely agree there. I tell you what, talk about surprising kind of performances. I've been on the Cam bandwagon for a long time. I thought coming into this season that the offensive line down in Carolina was going to be complete trash, and they are playing out of their minds. And I don't think there's anyone particularly playing great, but they're playing well together. And the one guy who's really shocked me is Michael Orr at left tackle.
Yeah, no question. I'm with you on that. I thought the line would be marginally better maybe than last year. And he's been terrific. He's, you know, he's a quiet dude. I happened to bump into him today in the locker room. Nobody talks to this guy. I mean, and trust me, he's happy though to have it that way. But every Sunday, with a couple of rare exceptions, he's just gone out there and given Cam a very nice pocket. As has the rest of their guys. The one guy who's probably struggled a little more than the rest is the right tackle Mike Remmers. But even then, it's not like he's just been awful. Two young guards have been terrific, or whatever you think of the Pro Football Focus rankings. They've been in the top 10 in the PFF rankings pretty much all season. And then Khalil, of course, the Pro Bowl center. Now, interestingly, it's not of interest if you're the Panthers. It's unfortunately if you're the Panthers. They might be without both Khalil and left guard Andrew Norwell this weekend. Norwell seems like he's almost definitely going to be out. Khalil, he has a hamstring. Khalil missed last week with an ankle injury, right. Missed that Colts game. And I don't know that he's going to play either. So that's those guys, you know, they kind of just got by a little bit with the backups in that Colts game. I don't know they're going to hold up as well playing that Packers defense.
Speaking of defense, looking at Carolina, it's been interesting to watch Jared Allen kind of make that transition back to a 4-3 end. It's also been interesting to see how they've struggled to get some pass rush. I know Johnson's been out. It really looked like McDermott got a little desperate there towards the end of that game Monday night. I know guys get tired, but, I mean, he was sending some old-school Jim Johnson blitzes. Is that something that's kind of they're cognizant of in regards to the pass rush?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how they fix it this week, quite frankly, because Johnson's out a few more weeks on that short-term IR. Mario Addison, their situational speed rush guy, tells us today that he's definitely out a second week with a separated shoulder. And then one of their interior pass rushers, Dwan Edwards, probably, well, he's missed two games and he's iffy. So, yeah, I mean, Jared Allen's okay and kind of in small sample sizes, which is to say at the end of games when he knows the other team's passing every down. He picked up his first sack in that situation against the Eagles, and I feel like that's right. His sack Monday against the Colts game too. So yeah, I mean, maybe Kawan Short, you know, gets loose again on the inside. You know, this was a guy who had five sacks in a two-game span a couple of weeks ago. The Colts really kind of turned their energies to stopping him on the inside, freed up a few things for Star Latulele. But I'm with you. I don't know how this front four gets to Rodgers just out of its base. And Sean McDermott, those blitzes you were talking about, Aaron, that is not his M.O., even though he's a
right.
Jim Johnson
no,
guy. You know that he's more of a straight, let me get pressure out of my front four type of coordinator.
Now, last year, obviously, Carolina came up to Lambeau and got you know, kind of beat up pretty good. We all know, you know, Kuechly was ejected from that game. And we also know that Josh Norman did not play in that game. How big a difference does he make in that back end? Because holy cow, is he playing out of his mind.
Yeah, no doubt. In fact, they had, I was having this conversation with Roman Harper today, who was the only guy in this current secondary who started that game in Green Bay. They
right.
they opened in a nickel, and the other four guys are gone. and that's not a bad thing. And as you said, Norman had concussion that game, so didn't play. And their play, clearly he's been the cream of the crop in that back end. But I got to tell you, Charles Tillman showed me something the other night.
Right?
He's kind of quietly, you know, he's not necessarily been exposed, but you'd kind of wondered how well he'd been playing. He'd been lost a little bit in the shadow of Norman, clearly. But if you saw that game, Luck goes deep down to his side, two throws in a row to Moncrief in overtime. He didn't, I guess, didn't want to throw to Hilton, who was being covered by Norman. And he had protection. These were seven drop throws, seven step drops.
Right.
And both times Tillman goes up, bats him down, you know, 40 yards, 35 yards down the field. That was sort of like an eye opener for some of us that have covered this team, because that we, you know, like I said, he hasn't been terrible, but I thought that was a case where he might get exposed, and it didn't happen.
And what about Coleman? How do they find these guys? I mean, they get Coleman off the scrap heap, and he's playing like his hair's on fire. He looked great on Monday night.
You know, he's a McDermott disciple. They were together in Philly, and I think Sean likes him because he reminds him some of himself, right. Kind of an undersized. You know, McDermott was a tiny little safety at William & Mary. He just likes him. And Coleman's played, as you said, I mean, what the other night was clearly his best game, but he's played well. This secondary is probably the area where they've made the biggest leaps. And Josh Norman is, of course, the main reason for that. But last year in Green Bay, they were starting guys like Thomas Dekou out of the league now. Antoine Kaysen, who I'm pretty sure is out of the league. I know he won with the team this summer. And Charles Godfrey started that game at nickel. And Charles is now, I think, on the Falcons practice squad. So the other corner that day was Melvin Way. Now, Melvin might have caught on. But my point being that Gettleman tried to patch together the secondary last year, and he didn't do a real good job with it. This year, now they're older, and you know it's an older secondary, but I do think it's a better one.
I'm talking to Joe Person with the Charlotte Observer, talking Packers Panthers coming up on Sunday, 7-0 against 6-1. You're an absolute legend for giving us your time. Real quick before we let you go, got to get your prediction for Sunday.
Yeah, well, I think it comes. I think the run for the Panthers comes to an end for a lot of the reasons we just talked about. Principally, I think their inability to get to Rodgers and get him off his spot, I think, is going to hurt. And I think it'll be closer than last year. I'll say 31-24 Pack.
All right, that's respectable. You know your audience.
Favorite beat reporter.
you know your audience. That's good. All right, Joe, you're an absolute legend for joining us, man. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, glad to do it, man. Y'all have a good night.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. There you go, Joe, joining us on the line from Charlotte. That's how we do. Joe's a great guy. Like I said, knows that team inside and out, as you can tell. Follow him on Twitter. He's the bomb. What do you think about that, Corey? We had the Panthers beat writer pick the Packers.
I like it.
Is it okay? Does it work for you?
Yeah, I like it.
Should we do the defense now?
That would be nice.
You're all concerned about it?
Yeah. I am I'm not concerned about the defense, though. Again, right. I feel like the defense is kind of the same as the offense, where you got guys like Ty Montgomery on the offense. Right. Devontae still hasn't kind of found his way.
On the defense, you got all the young guys in
exactly.
the secondary.
Exactly. You know, Gunter. When is Gunter going to show up?
I think this week. I mean, he was inactive in Denver, but now you've got Rollins hurt. Randall, you know, has had issues, and maybe it's time. Because I'll tell you this.
And I do believe, okay, I asked Nagler. Nagler gets to pick what's in the good, bad, and the ugly, okay?
Yep.
I don't really get a
That's
say.
That's correct.
I make my opinions known.
After the fact.
And there hasn't actually, in 7 years of this show.
Yeah.
And we've done the good, the bad, and the ugly for 7 years.
It's a long time.
And in 7 years, I've never pulled my producer card on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Of which, you know, my producer or graphic card.
Yeah,
because
right.
I am the graphic operator as well.
You are.
So it could be an easy accidental.
Easy change. Oh. As you just did the spelling of Shields live on the air.
You didn't put that in the good? I'm sorry. But I do feel like Demaryius Randall should have been in the good.
I know. First NFL
I thought
pick.
That
I
was an amazing
you.
Interception.
It was an amazing interception.
I thought it was the spark that the team needed to get their head out of their ass. But clearly Mike McCarthy's head was so far up his ass that game was not going to be the time that they did that. But yeah, kudos. I think, you know, The defense has issues, as we all know.
I mean, I think it's interesting they say, you know, Dom said on Monday when they met with the press that, you know, oh, Shields going down. You know, they would have rotated him over to Thomas at some point. Why on earth did they have anyone but Sam Shields on Demaryius Thomas? Because when Sam Shields was still out there, Casey Hayward was on Demaryius Thomas getting torched.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Everybody was getting torched by Thomas.
Yeah, but never by Shields because they never put Shields on him.
I thought Shields got torched by him early in the game.
No, Hayward did.
Oh.
And then, like...
Oh,
so,
for some reason, I thought Shields
so
was on
why,
and got torched.
Like, why is Shields capable of covering Dez Bryant one-on-one, which he does all the time every time they play the Cowboys, but they let Casey Hayward go over on Demaryius Thomas, even before Shields got injured? That just made no sense to me.
Here's the thing. Let me just say this one more time. I do believe that that was the peak game of the season for the Denver Broncos.
No, it was definitely like
it's all downhill from here.
I don't know about that. I think they're a pretty good team.
Manning's arm for the third year in a row is not going to hold up.
All right. That's probably true.
And as his arm goes,
but those first 2 years they didn't have the defense they have now.
As his arm goes,
right.
So goes that team.
Okay. They got the defense now, though. That's all I'm saying.
You know, here's my problem. I'm not good at picking stock, timing stocks. No one is.
Right.
I'm not good at timing in the
right.
season.
Right.
But mark my words. I thought the timing was going to happen against the Packers.
Right.
It's not. Okay. It might happen in 5 games. It might happen in 6.
But what's funny is that,
it's
like,
it's going to happen.
Everybody was already talking like his arm had already fallen apart at the beginning of the year. His arm got better after the bye week facing the Packers.
Well, that's your arm would get better, too, if you rested for 2 weeks.
That's probably true. Probably true.
Let's see how it does next week.
In the dome?
You'll be watching live from FanDuel headquarters.
Yes, I will. I will. It's true. I will be. Yeah, the defensive line. Let's talk about this defensive line. They need to get their heads out of their ass. You want to talk about heads out of your ass? I mean, this group has fallen off badly the last two
contests. But how much
of
that is because of Nick Perry?
Nick Perry's not defensive line. He's offensive. He's outside linebacker. You really got to learn your freaking delineations here on the defensive side, because this is the second week in a row you've done this.
Nick Perry in a 4-3 defense would be on the defensive line.
That is correct.
Okay.
But they don't run a 4-3 defense.
Yes. I get this.
All right. Raji. Dayton Jones, who actually is probably, of all the guys, played probably about as well as could be expected. He wasn't given a whole hell of a lot of opportunities. He needs to see more playing time. Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels was the king of almost getting there on Sunday night. He almost got to Peyton like 3 or 4 times.
And Mike Neal.
Mike Neal plays mostly outside linebacker.
I know, but
he
but this
puts
is
his
what
hand
I'm
on the ground. I'm
Mike
just
Neal
saying.
And Mike and Nick Perry
right.
are two of our best pass rushers. Right. Whether you want to call him a linebacker or whether you want to call him on the defensive line, okay?
Guyon, Pennell, these guys.
Don't talk about Guyon. You can't talk about Guyon.
Oh, that's right, yeah. We're a benign media member.
If you talk about Guyon, like, you have to talk about
it. But it's just, you know, all these guys just who were killing it that first month of the season, suddenly they couldn't get through a totally patchwork San Diego offensive line. And then they go up against a Denver line, which is no great shake.
Yeah, I thought Denver's wasn't that good.
It's not supposed to be. And they couldn't get through that line either. So now all of a sudden, everything that was good about the Packers' defense is suddenly bad. Namely, the guys up front who were winning early. Now all of a sudden, the last two games, they haven't been able to win jack squat. That's concerning. That's concerning because that was the catalyst for everything that was going well on the defensive side.
Of course,
because
you have young secondary.
Because you go back and watch
so
that Rams game.
You don't have
game.
To worry about press coverage.
Go back and watch the Rams game.
Coverage
the disruption
sacks.
From the defensive line in the Rams game is out of this world, and it's a big reason Foles threw as many interceptions as he did. But then all of a sudden, San Diego happens.
But you're talking about the Rams.
That's three games ago when they were playing
it's the
well.
The Rams.
They have a better offensive line than the Chargers do.
They do?
Yes. And they couldn't make heads or tails of the Chargers line. I'm just saying, man. Something. It's just weird. It's just weird.
So what is it?
I don't know.
Why not?
Because I'm not Dom Capers.
Packer fans want answers, Nagler.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why they're watching.
And you're not giving
I
them
don't know why they're
us.
Watching this show. And then finally, wait. We already talked about Gunter. I think it's time for Gunter in Carolina. I really do. Because here's my thing. Gunter looks great in press man on the outside, which is what they desperately needed in Denver, and they didn't have when Sam Shields went down. Sam Shields starts this week as a non-participant. There's a good chance he doesn't play on Sunday. Maybe he does, but there's a chance he doesn't play on Sunday. we need Gunter to come out and man that outside. And I know what everyone's going to say. You know, Randall can do it. You know, Rollins can do it if he's back. Although, who knows with the neck, blah, 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 blah. I want Gunter. I want him outside. I want him locking down fools, man press coverage. That's what they need. Opposite whoever on the other side. I'd rather have him out here than Hayward. What Hayward put on film on Sunday night, my God. I mean, he didn't even challenge guys. Whether it was Thomas or anyone else. It was Thomas or Sanders. It didn't matter. He didn't challenge anybody. I want some physicality up there, Corey.
Yeah, but when has the Packers secondary ever been physical since Craig Newsome?
I don't know. But Charles Woodson was pretty physical.
Okay. Charles Woodson.
Maybe he was in a corner. Well, when he was corner, though, he would get holding penalties all the time.
That's a long time ago.
Al Harris was physical.
Yeah, Mike McKenzie.
Al Harris wanted to play without his spleen.
Mike McKenzie.
Yeah, Mike McKenzie. Of course, they see that then you
but
have
there's
to
always
live.
That one guy who's physical.
That's Gunter. I want him. I want him, Corey.
I mean,
I want him out
Casey
there.
Hayward is not the... If Casey no. Hayward has to...
He's
the
a slot
answer.
Corner. It's a slot corner. It's,
but
I
he's
think,
not being
I
played
think the
as a
answer,
slot corner.
The answer has been kind of... You know, the bell has been rung here. He is a slot guy.
But he's not being
he's
played
best,
as a slot guy.
I know, and he needs to be.
Well, Jarrett Bush needed to be removed
oh,
from our
God,
team.
God,
like
you and Jarrett Bush! We need to do a Jarrett Bush show,
no,
so
but
you
I'm
can
just
like
saying,
just get it out of your.
There's
system
always like
forever.
There's
so
always
I never have to hear
four
about it again.
Guys on this team that have no business being on this team,
right?
And I don't know who they are right now on this year's team,
but you're finding out.
But pretty
they're
much
revealing themselves.
But pretty
to you.
Much one of those guys for the last 12 years of the Packers' lives
right.
was Jarrett Bush. Okay, so. This year's Jarrett Bush Award, we don't know who that's going to go to.
No, but you'll let us know when you see it.
We'll figure it out at the end of the season.
All right, we'll have it. We'll have the Jarrett
Bush
Award.
Last year's award goes to Brandon Bostic. This year's award, we'll see.
We'll find out. It will be revealed.
We shall see.
Finally, on the defensive side, it is time, Corey. It is time for Jake Ryan to replace Nate Palmer. And I know I've praised Nate Palmer in this year on this year's show. Prior to this week, saying he's playing above board. He's playing out of his, you know, kind of outside of his body, so to speak. I mean, he was playing serviceably. I won't ever say he was playing well, but he was serviceably, you know. They could live with it. They cannot live with what we saw on Sunday night. It was terrible. And this is after a shaky game against San Diego. It's time. I mean, I know the whole thing that Jake Ryan is a rookie and he's raw, et cetera, et cetera. But all you got to do is go back and watch the preseason and see his athleticism. Because here's the thing. The second, the nanosecond that Clay Matthews is bounced outside to go rush the passer from the outside position, they lose all the athleticism from the middle of the field.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like scary how slow and just non-explosive they become in the middle of the field when Clay is asked to go outside. Jake Ryan being in there, yeah. Is he going to be a bit kind of all over the place? Is he going to make some mistakes? Is he going to be maybe playing with his hair on fire? Yes. Yes to all of that. But I tell you what, he's also going to shut some stuff down. He's also going to play like a crazed madman. He's going to show burst and athleticism that is in short supply in the middle of the field, which they desperately need to go along with Matthews.
I just don't know enough about Jake Ryan. Does anybody?
Not really. I know what I saw on tape in the preseason, and I know that it's now week 9.
In the preseason.
I know, but that's my point.
But
I'm not
Jake
talking
Ryan
scheme,
beat
I'm
Nate
talking
Palmer,
just athleticism.
Wouldn't he have beaten Nate Palmer?
Has he been given the chance?
Yeah, and that's the thing. How much?
How many years?
And that is a true thing.
Did we
thing.
Watch Desmond Bishop yeah. in the preseason and go, why isn't this guy playing?
That's true. How much inertia does exist between yeah. getting from the 53
right.
into like getting in the rotation?
Getting snapped.
How much
just
inertia
reps
is
in
there
practice.
From like just this decision you made back in August, September?
Right.
Right? When you were like, okay, well, my ego, that and that and that and that. No, but right. seriously, like,
oh,
I think
I
that does. I think there's inertia
well,
that exists.
Here's the thing, though. Because in the past, I've kind of bought it from the coach's standpoint because they've said, you know, things like, you know, he's got to get all the calls, he's got to get all the adjustments, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very complicated defense. Okay, fine. I buy that, right? But now, at the beginning of this year, when the defense was playing well, Michael Cohen wrote that piece about how Dom Capers had spent the offseason streamlining everything and making it simple and making it so they can just react. You sound like you're making a case for Jake Ryan. You've made the defense simple. You've made the checks all one word rather than a bunch of words. So it's literally Apple. Okay, what's the app? Okay, Apple is this, and I go.
But what about Joe Thomas instead of Jake Ryan?
I love Joe, but he's way too undersized. I think he's a great
dime
backer.
Chat. That was a chat question, by the way.
I think he's a great dime backer, but he's not a guy you want like lumping in there on, you know, against pulling guards and things like that. Like, Jake's not exactly Ray Lewis, but he's much bigger than Joe Thomas. And Joe Thomas would get killed if he played every down. There's no way. Can't do that. But I love Joe Thomas, even though he had a couple really bad plays on Sunday night. I love that. I love him. I love his story. I love that he's back. He's great in the dime, but I there's no way I'd play him at base. Are you ready? Are you ready, sir?
Yeah.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Banky, let me ask you a question.
Okay. Ask me a question.
Where do you get your Packers news?
Cheesehead TV.
How do you go about that?
I go on the Cheesehead TV app.
The app! That's great. So you get like everything there, right? You get us.
Yep.
But you also get all the other outlets that cover the Packers.
Yep.
Do you get Packers.com on that app?
Packers.com, what's that? Yeah, I do.
Packers.com, official site of the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
So let's say Mike McCarthy had a press conference, right? And let's say he got asked a pretty uncomfortable question that he obviously had to punt on because he didn't want to say what he really thought, right? And let's say you missed it live, but you heard about it, and you thought, I'll go to Packers.com, and I'll watch the video. And then let's just say, for argument's sake, you went to that video, and then you got to the point where the uncomfortable question was asked, and it was edited out.
Hmm.
Would you be surprised?
Nope. But I know how the Packers operate, so I wouldn't be surprised 100%. Yeah. I mean, clearly, right?
Right.
Football operations
and
editorial
are
completely synergized, to use a corporate metaphor.
Yeah, nice. I like it.
And unlike the supposed firewall, that exists between the ad agency at the New York Times and the ad agency are the editorial at New York Times and the ad agency at BuzzFeed and the editorial at BuzzFeed, but the supposed firewall between these two, no such firewall exists at Packers.com.
No, none. Okay, but I just want to read what this question was that was asked of Mike because I...
Wait, so they kept it in the chat, but they didn't take
it? No. I tweeted it out because I thought it was so awesome because I watched it live. And then someone later tweeted me and said, yeah, they edited that question out when they put the video up. I was like, oh,
but
no.
But don't
they
you
didn't.
Know you know for a fact, okay, when you know for a fact that the PR department, okay, when we've experienced this, okay?
Right.
They're like, you know they got to ask Ted and Mike before
everything,
they can wipe their butt.
Yeah, everything.
We know this. We know this.
Yep. Okay, so
there's nothing new
Here's the thing. And I have learned, incidentally, that since this happened, since they did edit it out, they've gone back and put it back in. That's my favorite part. All right, so here we go. Here's the question that was asked of Mike McCarthy and his answer, it was gold because it was so clear he couldn't say what he wanted to say. But here's the question, and it was asked by our friend Bill Johnson, Mr. Green and Gold Today himself. They call him Mr. Wednesday, apparently, around Lambeau because that's the only day he ever goes to press conferences. And he asked this question, and God bless you, Bill. I'm so happy you asked this. I'm buying you a beer next time I'm in Wisconsin because I love that you asked this. This is what Bill asked. Quote, does your quarterback need to widen his definition of what the word open means? That's a great question. And I don't care what you out there, Packers fans, I don't care what fellow media members, I don't care what anyone has to say about that question. That is a great
question. What's wrong with that question?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's
because
better
I had
than,
some. I had
that,
some fans
that's
today.
Than, that's better than talk to me about.
Oh,
the
talk
offense.
To me about. Yeah, exactly.
Talk to me.
Talk
about,
a little bit about.
Give me some ink so that I may disperse it.
No, but so some fans were incredulous, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers can do no wrong. Okay, so then Mike's response...
Well, Aaron Rodgers can do no wrong, by the way.
Clearly. Yeah, but so Mike's response, literally, he looks at Bill, and he just kind of does that, like, that half... I'm going to kick your ass kind of thing, like, right?
You mean like the end credits of our
show? Yeah, kind of. And then he goes, we're good. Next question.
Like, that was it. But then why did they cut it?
Because it was really uncomfortable. It was great. It was great.
See, and you know what? You know what? Here's my thing, right?
Yeah.
The New York Giants would never do that. And here is why, okay? It's not that they don't want to.
Right.
It's not that they don't have the power to do so. It is that their PR department understands the power of the media. And when said media has lots of power and will utterly destroy them if they have any censorious inklings. Because as we know, the cover-up...
It's always worse than the crime.
It's always worse than the crime.
Always worse than the crime.
But you know what? Bill Johnson, love him. But you think his audience really cares that his answer got censored?
No, of course not.
Whereas, like, if you're a New York Times sports reporter or you're, you know, the Jets sports reporter, you're SNY or whatever,
right.
That's a big effing deal because 1% of 10 million people is still 100,000 people that are yelling at you.
Population of Green Bay.
1% of 2 million. What do you think Bill Johnson listeners are in Green and Gold today?
Right.
You know, maybe they're 1-2% of Milwaukee's population. That's saying a lot right there. With like 2-4 million people, you're talking about, you know, 20,000 people. And of those, what subset are going to actually bitch to the Packers?
Very few.
Very few. It's literally math.
I know.
I say this all the time, but it's literally math.
I'm as sick of it as you guys are. Don't worry about it.
It's like when people are like, oh, tell your congressman. It's like, no, and it's true.
Right, because
if 100,000 people bitch about something, they probably will actually do it.
They'll at least listen.
They'll at least put out a press release.
They'll acknowledge
it. The Packers get away with so much stuff, it's ridiculous. Now, some things they don't get away with that I want to talk about, which happened.
Here we go.
He hasn't followed me yet on Twitter. I'm waiting for this.
Oh, no. Who's this?
Our friend, Mr. Cohen, who wrote that article that you brought up.
Oh, yeah. He blocked me on Twitter.
Which
I found hilarious.
I think that's hilarious, actually.
These guys who, you know, rip into athletes every chance they get. They're hypercritical of everything these guys do.
He blocked you on Twitter. Hi, I'm a
new... I didn't even mention him. That's the other thing. I talked about the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
What do you mean you didn't mention him? You had a whole rant about it.
I never once mentioned him on Twitter.
If he blocked you, that means he listened to Packer Transplants.
No, because I tweeted Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's my point. Like, I never said, like, go into this. I was like, this is like... Anyway.
I think that's hilarious.
It just shows how
I want him to block me. Dude, you're an effing noob to the freaking Packers blogosphere. And I'm going to say blogosphere because you're owned by... You just got
Gannett
bought up.
Now.
Yeah. So it's all the freaking blogosphere, dude. Like, welcome to it. You're a member of the Packers media and you don't even understand the landscape you're in before you just think you're... Like, dude, come on. Like,
I know.
There are many, many guys before you. Kareem Copeland, Ty Dunn, Greg Bedard. You have huge freaking feet to fill.
Shoes?
Shoes.
Looking for shoes?
Yeah, I was looking for shoes, and I lost it.
It's all right. You're there now.
You have many shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Your feet ain't big enough to fill them, so chill the F out.
I hear you. Yeah, what Corey said.
Vic Ketchman is not on Twitter, chat. If Vic Ketchman was on Twitter, you know he'd follow me, and then he'd block, and then he'd mute me.
He'd totally block
me. And then he would figure out muting is not the same as blocking, and then he would mess that up.
And then he would
up.
Try and favorite it, but it'd be a heart instead of a star.
If Vic Ketchman is on Twitter... I probably would have more followers.
But hey, here's the thing. Speaking of Vic Ketchman, came out last week. The Packers are looking for a senior writer. So get your resumes in.
There you go.
And now what does this mean for Vic? I don't know. Sure sounds like maybe he's ready to transition.
Thank the Lord. Get him out of there. They should have never hired him. Yeah. Again, editorial and football operations should be completely separate.
Why does this happen?
Why does Ted Thompson... have any say in who the writers are for the Green Bay Packers?
I don't know.
Like, let Ted pick the 7th and 8th round in the draft.
I'm pretty sure that's what he does.
Okay, but he doesn't need to pick the eighth round beat reporter.
You done?
No. Michael Cohen.
Oh boy.
Something's wrong. There's something wrong I'm not excited about this merger.
Right.
Like all M&A, right. I do not think the synergies that are going to, and I've said that word again, I don't think the synergies that are going to come together and coalesce around right. this marriage of the Green Bay Press Gazette, the right. storied franchise, as storied a franchise as the Green Bay Packers and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel
right.
are going to be a love relationship.
It's not
going to
work. That's what you're saying.
Something's going to happen, and it's already happening. You know,
well,
when JS Online is acting like BuzzFeed and trying to do clickbait and trolling for clickbait on a bye week, like, is there any more, like, are the days of Tom Silverstein and Lori Nichol and right. serious reporting, are those days gone?
I don't know.
Even Bob McGinn has lost his damn mind. He has become a senile old man.
I'll say this.
Who takes Bob McGinn seriously? Because if you take him seriously... You are out of your mind.
It was interesting to read his piece on Sunday morning about you know, the whole thing about Packer people and all that nonsense, and the fact that he led with like four paragraphs of Colt Lierla. I mean, talk about like
Colt Lierla. Nobody even remember. Only people that remember Colt Lierla watch Packer Transplants.
It's so true. I
didn't even remember Colt Lierla until he said Colt Lierla, and the only reason I remembered Colt Lierla is because he's got a cool name. I didn't even remember him as a player. Did Colt Lierla ever even make a play one time?
No, he got hurt in family night.
Did remember? He even make an interception or anything? Did he do anything?
Well, he was a tight end. So
exactly!
No.
Exactly! I thought he played defense. Oh my God. How can you love Bob McGinn? Okay, read that article on Packer people. Bob McGinn is treating you like a baby. He is treating you as a Packer fan like you don't know the business of football and what the hell is going on in this world. He is treating you like you are just some little lady the lady that sits behind me at Lambeau Field who's like, can you take your cheese head off? Some lady who's sitting in her freaking living room who doesn't realize that the world is not black and white and that there's a lot of gray and that this is a billion-dollar business. And, of course, there's going to be bad guys and good guys, and we're all human beings. Bob McGinn is treating you like a child. So if you like Bob McGinn, fine. If you like being treated like a child, fine.
Yeah, Corey, man, I haven't heard it put like that, but you're absolutely right. He did kind of insult our intelligence with that.
Packer
column.
People, has anybody ever believed that? Ever believed that?
No, of course not.
I never believed it.
Well, and that's why I said, the whole thing I said after I read it, because a bunch of people sent it to me on Twitter when it posted. It's like, so in response to the stenography of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bob breaks the news that Packer people is a fallacy. Like, that's the response.
Hey, the new guy showed up, so we've got to defend the new guy.
Yes, exactly.
That is exactly what is happening at the JS Online. And that's right. pathetic. Because when Greg Bedard was there, that kind of crap wouldn't happen.
Well, here's the thing. Compare what Bedard did with Johnny Jolly to what Cohen and what's-his-name did here with this Guyon story. Like, Greg did real-time reporting. Greg flew to Houston and sat in a courtroom and did, like months of work, real time, as it was happening. He didn't go back and read old police reports and copy them and put them in a piece and drop it just in time for the bye week. Oh, how convenient. He did real reporting.
It's so sad because the Bob McGinn that I love, the Bob McGinn who stood up to Ted when Brett Favre became a traitor of the team, who is now loved and beloved and should have his name on the side, when Bob McGinn stood up, I was so proud of that because I was like, you know what? That is what your job is. Your job is to stand up to these guys when they bullshit you.
Right.
But your job is not to just slander people for no reason and to be a clickbait troll. Like, it's just, that's not your job.
I agree.
And there's it's funny because it's subtlety, so it's hard in today's.
It's gray. It's like gray. You said, there's so lots of gray. Lots of gray. Damn, Corey, that was awesome. That was really good. Couldn't agree more. I got nothing else because you kind of covered it.
Word.
People are used to me doing that, but that was great. All right, man. Well, there you go. There you have it. That'll do it for this week's Packer Transplants. But before we go, Corey Behnke, now every week you give us your 60-0 blow them out, going to knock the doors off of them prediction. Didn't come true last week. We kind of had that done to us. Down in Carolina, what's your prediction?
30-7.
Who?
Who do you think?
I'm just asking. I need it on the record.
I am the most positive Packer fan you will ever find.
Okay.
Pretty much.
It's true. It's true.
I like to see the golden lining in the Packers because I've spent most of my adult life watching them lose and still being positive.
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that. I'm going to say Packers 27, Panthers 22. How's that work for you?
Wait, who'd you pick?
Packers.
Thank the Lord.
All right.
Although I'm kind of scared. And Josh Johnson, I hope Michael Cohen blocks me because I hope he blocks me.
All right, all right. We don't need to get more of it.
Okay, but somebody chatted.
You've said your piece. It's all good. I know. We just said we had a clean outro. Now it's all like, you know,
I hope he blocks
it's all broken up.
I hope he blocks me.
I'm sure he will. Everybody tweet him. Say,
I followed him.
Block Corey.
Yeah, everybody
this guy who just followed
everybody
you.
Everybody tweet Michael Cohen block and him. Tell him this guy that just followed you, block him. If you're going to block Nagler, block Cohen. We're going to give a poster away next week, and the tweet is going to be, if you're going to block Nagler, you block need to block Behnke.
I like it. All right. So there you go. That'll do it for this week's Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Joe Person, the Charlotte Observer. Great breakdown of the Carolina Panthers this week. And we'd love to thank all of you. Everyone who connected with us on the live chat, you guys are the reason we do this. Thank you so much. Thanks for the questions. Keep them coming every week. You really add to the experience. It's the whole reason we do this. I can't believe you continue to show up. The numbers have been insane. Thank you so much. Thanks for all the tweets, all the emails. You guys are the best. For Corey, I'm Aaron. Go Pack, go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason, okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.